Welcome to Cycle Breakers and Money Makers, a podcast for women of color and first gen who are breaking generational cycles and glass ceilings by going places no one before them has ever gone. I'm your host, leadership coach, and eldest daughter of immigrants, Mariela De La Mora. I left a 16-year marketing career to create a multiple six-figure-a-year coaching business as a single mom. Each week, you'll learn how to build unshakable self-trust, become in demand, lead with confidence, and make more money by being more of who you are. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Cycle Breakers and Money Makers. I have not sat in this chair in my room slash office to record in over a month. That is because all of the episodes in July were recorded in June. Because I was off for almost all of July. I take a month off every summer to travel with my daughter, just be present with her. This was our third year in a row doing that. And it's something that I know I'm going to do every year. So I plan for it. Like I build it into my mastermind contracts, my private coaching contracts. My team sends multiple reminders about it. I bring in guest coaches. I plan my content and my podcast interviews and podcast episodes so that everything's done and my team has everything they need. Granted, did I have everything done this year that I wanted to? No, but I definitely did much better this year than I did the last 2 years. So it's all progress, and really, it's so needed for me because it's funny because this podcast that I'm recording today, the conversation that we're going to have is about protecting success and how sometimes protecting success blocks growth, meaning like why do so many of us plateau or repeat income or hit a certain level of income and then slip back and then we can't hit it again. And part of that is something that I'm working through years and years later. Like I'm still working through it, which is that I'm so used to struggling, hustling, everything beyond my shoulders as the eldest daughter, and as the person that was always kind of like mediator, responsible person in my household, breadwinner, responsible person in my past marriages, right? Like the person that had to like make ends meet when the person that I was with like lost their job and things like that. Like I've always been the person that had to make things happen. And I've realized like the expiry date that has and how that works in certain environments. Like it worked, quote unquote, for me in corporate because it allowed me to be exceptional so that I was the only woman of color at a director level, right? But eventually it's like, I desire something different. And then what happens is you initially kind of bring those things into your business and then you like the hustle and the visibility and then the just putting yourself out there and like me being online every day. And during the pandemic, granted, right? Like I was on stories every single day. Like I was networking my butt off. I was being visible. I was partnering. I was being on people's podcasts. I was going live with people. I was doing all kinds of stuff. Because I was like, I'm going to make this work, right? It was this fire that was lit under me. And I'm glad that I was able to do that. It's almost like the hustler me, the survivor me helped me establish my business, get it off the ground, surpass like more income than I thought I could make. I made six figures my very first year. I was able to, you know, get back on my feet financially after my divorce, where I literally had to get on food stamps for a while because it wiped me out. I moved from London where I was married. I had to just like, I was pregnant. I was heavily pregnant. I had to move back in with my parents. Like I was in a struggle situation, right? Like I had just been abandoned. During my pregnancy, like, right? You know, I was in pain. I was going through like the hardest time of my life. So looking back, I'm like, I'm so grateful that survivor me was there. I call her clipboard. So all my clients know we talk about parts work and how there's different parts of us that lead our businesses, right? And there's typically one part that's the role self. The role self is the one that has kind of led your life up until you heal, up until you break cycles, right? And for me, the survivor version of me was clipboard. Like she made sure she was going around the room and people with the clipboard are looking at what are they doing and what are they doing and like what's coming up and like what do we need to do and like come on, like what are we doing today? Like, okay, like we got to get going, like we got to make this money. me, honestly, like I've come to a point now, I'm 5.5 years into business where like the last 3 years in a row, I've taken a month off in the summer. Like it sounds glamorous and it is. And like, I'm so grateful that I'm able to do it, but it also had to be a conscious decision to say for me to feel safe in the success that I've built, right? So hustler me got me through my first few years, right? Hustler me, clipboard got me through 2019 building my brand, 2020 making my first six figures, 2021 making 150K, 2022 making 333K, 2023, you know, making 350K. Like, and eventually I'm just like, oh my God, I need to feel safe that this isn't all going to go away tomorrow, that the rug isn't going to be pulled out from underneath me, that I can actually rest and not shame myself the entire time about what I didn't delegate before I went on vacation and like what I could be doing, should be doing, all the things I owe. Like that's how it actually feels when you succeed. You have to become comfortable receiving the success and sitting in it. In the same way that I would imagine, I've never experienced this personally, the same way that I would imagine you would freak the fuck out in your first healthy relationship when you are used to unhealthy, toxic relationships or abandonment, that you would just be like, this man, for sure, today he's gonna leave me. Like he's not gonna, you know, or like, this is too good to be true. Like all of that, right? To where it's just like, I don't know, is this boring or is this healthy, right? Like, the same way we have to heal our relationship with our survivor self so that we can actually not pause in our tracks, like when things are going well. It's the same thing, like the same in a relationship. Like it's when you get what you want, it doesn't just feel good. It's not just like, great, this is awesome. Like I'm just chilling. Like we, especially as daughters of immigrants and anybody who came from a struggle background, we trust our struggle self more than any other part. And so sometimes what we do is we make sure we struggle. Okay. I'm talking to you if it feels like I'm talking to you, right? But in order for us to make more than just enough, in order for us to not just repeat our success, like sustain it, right? But to sustain it, repeat it more peacefully, more profitably, and grow from there, in order for us to create what we want and not just what we think we can have and not just what we think others expect from us, it requires what we're going to talk about in this episode. Okay. So I set it up. I'm living in the embodiment of it myself. It's a process. Don't believe anybody that tells you they can heal your trauma in 30 days, like heal your blah, blah, blah. No, girl, no. It's a process. So we learn to be gentle with ourselves and just have it be integrated into who we are, right? It is a journey and we do the best that we can. And every month, every year, like we're just being in spaces and, you know, in communities and in mentorship that understands that in many cases in our business, what we're doing is we're not just healing patterns and behaviors and habits and beliefs that happened in your lifetime. We're also addressing things you're carrying that didn't even start with you. Anyhow, what we're going to talk about in this episode is what happens after a big season of growth. The clients come in, the revenue steady, things feel good, and suddenly you shift. You start second guessing your investments. You start pulling back from visibility. You start pulling offers or adding new offers. You start wondering like, should I even really need this level of support anymore? Should I just do it on my, I think I got it on my own now. And it's not that you don't want to succeed. It's just because a part of you believes that you should be able to hold it on your own now, or you're so used to having the rug pulled out from underneath you when good things happen that after you start making an amount of money that challenges your identity, you start to hyper-focus on like not losing it or people not being mad at you, right? And you stop focusing on even sustaining where you are, let alone growth. Like forget about growth, right? And so this is especially true if you're somebody who had to learn how to survive without a lot of help. And so this episode is about that shift that I see in so many people who grew up witnessing struggle, being the person who carried it all on their shoulders, many daughters of immigrants, especially, you know, eldest daughters or anybody who grew up within in a marginalized, you know, identity, right? And so I want to talk to you all about why this pattern shows up after success. Number two, how to know if it's happening in your business right now and the two forms that I see that it takes. Number three, what it's already costing you. And number four, how to move forward without burning down what's working. So whether you right now are just like at capacity or you're afraid to finally like to break what's working because you've evolved, this episode's for you. So we'll call it for purposes of this episode, playing it safe. But we know that this takes many forms. So why does this happen, right? So why do we play it safe. Playing it safe can look different ways. This could look like capping your growth. It could look like stopping what was working, all of that. So there's two main cycles that I see that people are find themselves in. And sometimes you're in both. You might be in one more than the other. One is you're in a survivor cycle, which means you trust survivor you more than you trust the easeful you who is emerging that your success created. The other cycle is what I call like a vice grip cycle. So it's like you got something and now you're like, I got to hold on to it. You're afraid to lose what you built if you allow yourself to change, right? So you're either in a survival cycle or a vice grip cycle, or you're in both. I have been in both. Okay, let's just keep it real. And it makes sense. This isn't even something that shouldn't happen. It's actually something that is going to happen. Could I have taken a month off like previously? Hell no. I would have been like, you know what I mean? So let's just talk about it. So survival cycle. How do you know survival cycle looks like? You have a version of you that used to always be in charge. The version of you that always had to survive is still essentially the CEO of your business. They are running your business. They're hypervigilant. They're always looking for a problem to fix. They operate really well when their back is against the wall, when they work really well under pressure. This isn't just about procrastination. This is kind of someone who's like, you want to make it really hard on yourself because you know that when you do, you will show up for you. Like you will never let yourself not be able to pay your bills. You're never going to let yourself like totally fail. Like so you kind of wait till your back's against the wall. And so you'll kind of make sure that you're always struggling somehow so that she is like, well, I can't let somebody else take over because look at this mess, right? It can also feel like ease and calendar space feeling dangerous to your nervous system. So this will happen with my clients once they actually have space. So I remember coaching a client who had like 20 one-on-one clients and some corporate clients and some speaking engagements. And we literally were like, oh my gosh, she is just so overwhelmed. I think this was like 150K a year. And then the next year it was like right at 300K. But the 300K, she had so much more space. And we had to actually coach on how uncomfortable it feels to have days. And she's like, I don't even know what to do with myself. And I was like, no, now you have a different job to do as a CEO. You have these spaces. Now we have to structure your week differently. Now you have like days where you're actually actively thinking about your business, making decisions ahead of time. You're thinking like you're making decisions and you're also taking care of yourself differently. Like at that point, you just have a different job to do. Like at that point, movement in your body, self-care, like things like that, connection, creativity, like those things matter. And you didn't have time for them before, right? So ease and calendar space feels dangerous to your nervous system. That's a survivor cycle. Why can't I say it? And also you're here if you feel like your capacity is constantly stretched, where you're like, I just have enough capacity to figure out next week or this week. You know what I mean? Like, and so that keeps you in like band-aid cycles. So like, that can also be ADHD, can also be, you know, children that make it difficult. I for sure am there, but it's essentially like you're just getting by all the time. And it feels like, oh my gosh, the vice grip cycle is where you're afraid to lose what you've built. This can look like you feel like you're a different person. And you are in many ways, like, especially if you've been in business for a few years, like think about any job you've had previously. Aren't supposed to just stay doing the exact same job title, the exact same thing year after year. So why would you do it in your business? So you feel like you're a different person. You want different things. Maybe your actual day-to-day life looks different now, or you want it to look different in the future. Like, for example, I coach a lot of people who are planning on having children, and they want to be able to grow with that in mind, or they have been in a healing journey. And so like they don't want to do the same things that they did before. They succeeded using strategies they don't want to keep doing anymore. And sometimes you'll know you're here because you keep comparing yourself to a past version of you, but that past version of you doesn't exist anymore. Like you literally cannot go back, but you also can't resist like evolving either. So you're not giving yourself permission to grow, and it'll feel like you're wearing a jacket and that jacket is too tight. And if you've ever worn a really, really tight jacket or like a sports bra and it's too small and it's really hard to get off. So it's like that. It's like you are just compressing yourself. It would be the same as like staying in a job just because you're good at it and you don't think they're ever going to fire you, but you're also not being challenged and you're not growing, right? So the survivor cycle and the vice grip cycle. And it can look a lot of different ways. Like I said, like I had a client who came into reclamation this year, and we were talking about how in her biggest financial year, because we unpack everybody's success receipts, right? Like, how did you succeed in the past? So we look at like strengths in terms of communication. We look at visibility strategies. We look at all these different things. And she was like, yes, when I made the most money, I was online all the time. Like I was on social media all the time. My family noticed, my husband noticed, and now they want to make space for, you know, family planning and things. And so we've had to coach through not filling every available moment with creating more content and instead refining her messaging. And so instead of doing more, we're like, no, but what actually creates the clients? Like we refined messaging, we were doubling down on what's working. And after not landing clients in Q1, she landed 3 clients in 2 months in Q2, right? So these are the sorts of things where like we come in and we're like, the person has evolved, they want something different, they know what's worked in the past, but they don't want to succeed that way. But they also are afraid to do less, or they feel like they have to do more. And that's very uncomfortable. And those are exactly the things that we coach on, right? So what we just talked about is like, why does this happen? It happens because we trust survivor you and we're in our survivor cycle, or we're in a vice grip cycle where we're afraid that we're going to lose what we've built. How do you know that it's happening in your business? You know, based on the examples that I just shared in survivor cycle, it looks like you sell when you need to, but you slow down or you pause when you don't. You keep repeating the same income. You add new offers instead of making the ones that you have more profitable and what you want them to be. Or you tend to pull the plug instead of problem solving. Like you're just somebody who jumps to pulling the plug. So for example, you stop doing something that was working because you think, okay, I should just be okay to do it by myself. Like, no, that's not how business works. Typically, once you add support, you're like, you can absolutely change it. I've done that, but you have to replace it with something, right? Or you tend to jump to like, it didn't work in an investment instead of making it work. So one of the ways that this looks like is I, especially with my super hyper independent, like daughter of immigrant clients, they will hire a VA that they absolutely need because they are very busy. And then they'll say, oh, well, like I just was correcting like what the VA was doing, and like, I may as well do it myself. And like, you know, but it doesn't really take me that long. So I'm just going to do it because I don't even know what I would give them to do. And I'm like, girl, I could tell you, there's a whole lot of stuff I can guarantee you right now. All the task switching you're doing in your head right now is hurting your creativity and your executive function and your capacity. And then instead of fixing it, this is why I'm like, please bring it to me in coaching. Please bring it to me. I will make sure that if you have a team member, we will get to a point where we know, is this truly not a good fit hire? Or do you just need to tell them what you want? We can create SOPs. We can create brand voice guidelines. Like we can train a GPT, like all those things, right? So you jump to like, it didn't work, and you'd be wanting to like go support, like stop doing that, right? And so instead of like, how can we get the support to make you money, that the whatever $1,000 a month is like nothing. It's just a drop in the bucket because we're using this investment to make you money. Same thing with coaching. Like how are you going to use that investment to help you make money, right? Coaching is not supposed to be an expense. Coaching should be an investment that helps you make money. So the way that I always see it is, if I'm investing $15,000, how can I make sure that this makes me at least $15,000 more than if I didn't have this investment? Granted, is there another investment that could be a better fit for me? Yeah, absolutely. Am I going to go about it on my own? Hell no, right? So, because I know there's too much to gain and too much to lose, right? So this is how I think about it. But I had to break out of survivor cycle, right? So you're in it if you jump to like, oh, it didn't work. And I'm just like, how are we making it work, right? That's another one. Another survivor cycle thing is you are projecting like the past into the future. Like this bad thing happened when I succeeded, so like I'm not going to do it again. So it's almost like, no, like I sold this offer one time and like this client really like asked all these things of me. And I'm like, wait, no. But like, why did that happen? Like, let's look at, was this actually a bad fit client? Did you just not communicate expectations? Could we just solve this in the future? Could we fix this in the onboarding? Like, let's stop throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? So it's a very like knee-jerk reaction sort of place to be, right? The way that you know, so that's survivor cycle, right? You sell when you need to, but you pause when you don't. You keep repeating the same income. You are adding new offers instead of making the ones more profitable. You're pulling the plug on offers instead of making them work. You're pulling the plug on things before you're problem solving. The way that you know that you're in a vice grip cycle is you keep offers that you hate, but you resist selling them because you don't actually want to deliver them. So this will happen all the time. And I'm like, okay, there's something here. This doesn't mean let's stop selling it, but like, what is it about it that's making you not even want the client? Because if a part of you doesn't want the client for this offer, then you'll find a way to like not market it. You'll find a way to not get the clients. So we really look at like, how can we make this an offer you love that is also profitable? And if we can't, then we look at, okay, does this no longer have a place in the future of your business, right? And that's absolutely fine too. But sometimes people are just so afraid to allow themselves to change. Another way you kind of know you're here, and many of us that have been in business for several years as well, we stop dreaming and setting goals, you know? So it's kind of like, no, let me just like stay where I'm at. And that's okay. Like that happens. But really what all of this does is it makes it so that your business feels heavier. That excitement that you used to have about the future and like what you can do starts to feel really heavy. You start to feel like, I don't even know if I want to grow beyond here because man, if it feels like this, like I'm just not sure. I don't know if I want more responsibility. I don't know if I want like a bigger team to have to support this. Do I need a bigger team to have to support this? This just feels like a lot of decisions. Like it just starts to feel like everything in your body is like slow down. And it makes sense because when you're an entrepreneur, you are signing yourself up for a pace of growth that isn't common for the average person, right? Like the amount of growth that we sign ourselves up for is a lot. And your body and your nervous system and your identity is really just doing what it's designed to do and being like, why do we want to go over there? That feels really hard. Why don't we just chill over here where we know? And even if it's struggly, they're like, yeah, but we know the struggle. Like we know how to struggle. So like, let's just stay here. Like, why would we want to go over the bridge? And just when you know that, you can stop making it, you know, like a personality flaw or anything like that. It's just normal that we are going to cap our growth because of all the things with that I've shared, right? So what I want to share now is like, we think that we're protecting ourselves, but what is it already costing you? So here's what it's already costing you by not solving it, because it always is, right? So one of the ways is that you are silently like pulling back in your visibility and in your marketing because a part of you is like afraid or unsure about the future. So when you're unsure about the future, you kind of start to resist showing up in the way that you did before. If you also aren't like lit up by the thing that you're selling because you're neither problem solving it, nor are you allowing yourself to evolve, you're also going to not really want the clients. Like a part of you won't want it. So you'll also pull back. So your business, like I said, just starts to feel heavier. You either will cap your income, repeat your income, or sometimes it will slide back and you'll feel like you just can't get back to that stride that you were in. You'll start to almost feel like you are in a point in your business where you're so far past the honeymoon stage that you're just like, I don't know I don't love my business anymore, what I'm doing? Or is it that like, I'm just a different person. I haven't allowed myself to evolve, right? So it's already costing you visibility. It's costing you sales. It's costing you growth. It's costing you peace. And you might be sitting in a little bit of a pattern of like avoidance and shame as well. And like, you have to keep getting to know who you are. You have to keep getting to know, you know, your business in a way to be like, okay, well, what does the market look like? Like, what am I interested in? Like, what are my clients saying? Like, you have to allow yourself to evolve. It's so normal, right? So it's already costing you. And from here, here's what I would recommend. Okay. So there's a couple things that I've done with clients. So one of the things that I would start with is, what is your version of success now? So it's easy to be like, oh, I want to make X amount of money, but like, that's not enough. Because typically like, yes, we have a financial goal that is like, we want to be able to pay ourselves. We want owner's pay. We want to be able to pay our taxes, our operational expenses, mentorship, you know, team, fund our reserves, fund our retirement accounts, things like that, right? So there's like practical reasons for a financial goal. But that's so broad. So it's like, if you want to make 250K, like that could look wildly different between one person and another. So you've got to know what you want, right? And so I'll give you an example. At the beginning of my business, my version of success was that I wanted to make enough money to move out of my parents' house because I had to move back in, like I said, after divorce. And I was, you know, it was a very, very, very hard time for me raising my little toddler. I wanted money to be able to quit my job and to not really worry about money. Like I wanted to be able to like go shopping, go and like save money and all that and never really look at the receipts. Like that's just what I wanted. And so at that point I was like, if I could sell it, I'm gonna sell it. I don't care. Like I'm a leadership coach. I'm a business coach. I had life coaching clients. I had all the things. I was just like, what do you need? I got you. And I was making up packages. I was like, okay, yeah, 8 weeks. Okay, yeah, 3 months. Okay, yeah, 4 months. I was selling it. If I could sell it, I sold it. I was on stories every single day. I loved it. I was hustling. And I think that was great. I love that about me. Very different situation now, right? So you have to look at what is your version of success? Now, my version of success is being able to take a month off and not have to show my face on stories if I don't want to, but knowing that I still have content and podcasts and, you know, posts going out and things like that, right? Like I don't want my business to depend on my live energy, even though I loved it depending on my live energy for so many years. So that's just an example of what it looks like for me after making $1 million, you know? And so what is your version of success now is number one. Number two is audit your offers. So like, which of your offers light you up? Which ones drain you? And the ones that drain you, how could you make yourself love them again? And really sit with that. And just like, if you were to say like, let's say if it was all solvable, what would make it worthwhile for me to continue to sell this, right? Is it the pricing? Is it the duration? Is it the deliverables? What would make it worthwhile? And if you can't find a way, then you can give yourself permission to evolve it into something else, right? You can decide, I don't want to serve this market anymore. Or you can say, I do want to serve this market, but not in this way, right? So do an offer audit is number two. So number one was, what's your version of success now? Number two, what do an offer audit? Number three, do a marketing audit. So just like I shared with you how I used to love my business relying on 3 to 4 posts a month. That was what I did for the first several years. 3 to 4 posts on Instagram a month, no emails, no nothing else. And stories every single day. People used to joke, like, I know everything you're doing because like I just have to go on Instagram stories. And now like I'll either post like 15 times in a day or I won't post. Like it's just different. And so do a marketing audit. Look at like, what is it that has brought me the majority of my clients in terms of my form of expression? So this doesn't necessarily mean an actual channel. So for me, it's when I'm speaking, right? So I now do podcasts more than Instagram stories. So I'm still speaking, but I'm speaking in an evergreen form of content versus something that's going to expire in 24 hours. That's more sustainable for me, right? Another thing I want to be doing and I have in my plan is to start a YouTube channel speaking, but in a different way. So do a marketing audit in terms of what form of expression has been your strength that's brought you clients. What's a platform that energizes you? And maybe for me, it's like, I still love IG, but just not me showing up on stories all day. And then look at like, okay, has lead generation changed? Like IG for sure has changed in terms of a lead generation platform. Like now to generate leads from there, you need to create very differently than you did 5 years ago. But then there's other platforms, there's TikTok, there's, you know, Threads. So you still need to make sure that you have ways that you're being discovered, ways that you're building trust and relationship with your people, and then ways that you are extending, selling, making offers, right? So just looking at that, because maybe it's like, hey, I want it to feel more sustainable. So now I'm going to shift from me being on IG stories every day, like this is what it looked like for me, to podcast and email, right? So do marketing audit. That's number three. Number four is to do a success receipts. So this is a part of my process that I do with my private clients as well as in reclamation. So success receipts is looking back at a very successful period of your life. I would say ideally it could be a month, but it's generally something big, like you hit your biggest quarter ever or something like that. And in the success receipts, we really look at like, what were you doing? Who were you being? What did you stop worrying about? Who you were being? What did you stop worrying about? And you start to realize like, okay, like when I'm in service, when I'm curious, when I'm in big sister energy, when I'm advocating for others, like that's when I'm the most lit up. Like look at your success receipts. Some people have found that their biggest opportunities came when they were in deep relationship with people and like when they checked in and they followed up with like past clients, like things like that, right? So what are the things that have contributed the most to your success? And finally, what I would say is from here on, look at what your version of success is, look at what's working in your offers, look at what's not in your offers, what's working and not in your marketing. Then look at like, okay, in order for you to meet that, like what needs to change and what needs to stop and what do you need to start doing? So what do you need to start doing, stop doing, and change in order for you to align to that new version of success, right? So most likely your offers may need to tweak a little bit or be retired. The way that you market is most likely going to have to shift. And the way you are showing up to your business is also going to have to shift, because you can't just make changes in your business and then you still show up as this like vice grippy person who has to fill like every available space and like who fires your VA because they didn't do what you wanted them to do instead of solving the problem. Like, you still have to show up like this version of success that you want to be. So to recap, survival mode in business, protecting success, it's just a normal part of business, like how we actually resist growth. And this is something that I help my clients with in private coaching. It's something that we talk about in reclamation. And mostly it's because so much of growth is about the human element of it and like safety to receive more. It's much less about the logic. The logic of business is actually pretty straightforward. Like, I could look at where your leads have come from. We could look at your messaging. We could look at the marketing outlets that you've been using. We could look at your goals and figure out, okay, if you want to expand into this market, like, do you have a lead gen problem or lead quality problem? Like, okay, what do we need to tweak? Like, that stuff I can do, right? I'm a marketer. I've been a marketer my whole life. But the most complex and beautiful part, I would say, about business is this human element, especially when you are creating something that really challenges your past identity and you have to feel safe in the success you've created. You want to feel safe in the space that you've created. And not everyone will fully understand why this is so normal and how to hold it with compassion and how to help you give yourself enough facts, right, about what's happening and have a way forward. You kind of can expect yourself to sabotage, right? You can expect yourself to sabotage, and you want to meet it not with judgment, not with shame. So if this episode resonated with you, I want you to know I feel you. I am you. I've been you. I've been working through this myself in the growth of my business. I wouldn't have been able to create what I did if I, you know, wasn't going through this process myself. This is why I create all of my processes specifically for women of color who are learning to create and receive and hold and grow beyond just enough. And I invite you to work with me. So there's two ways to do that. One is through private coaching. So private coaching looks like 6 months, which is really like the majority of my clients have worked with me for 6 months. We, in this case, will look at where you are now, what feels hard, where you want to go, what needs to change, not just in your business, but in terms of like who you're being, what support you need. And we'll build a plan from there, like from the very beginning. So we'll actually start out with a VIP day so that we're looking at what are the things that need to change in your business, the profit gaps, the visibility gaps, the marketing gaps, identity gaps. And then we actually coach to that for the next 6 months. And that's my most transformational, like intimate custom space to get exactly what you need, regardless of who you are. I have clients who are in like year two and have worked with a few clients, took a pause on their business and now coming back. I also have clients in private coaching who have made just under $500,000 or more. I've also worked with clients who have made millions, and I've been more of like a leadership coach and helping them like to scale. So, but what I will say is private coaching, I'm not as often working with brand new people. Most of the time when people come to me for private coaching, they have an established brand or business. They have clients that they've worked with. And that's because in private coaching, like, we really get to dig into the complexities of you, your history, your business. And that's the space to do that. So typically people don't come to me as their first person, but that's what makes my private coaching so beautiful, because it is kind of a space that you feel like, okay, now I'm ready for this level of support. But DM me if you're not sure. So it's 6 months, it's 10K. Other options to work with me with monthly calls for 6K. And that tends to be kind of people who are pretty settled, but they just like want access to me and they want to be able to have like a much more, you know, fast moving, more consultative like session every month and then go and implement. And those are for the folks who have no problem like kind of getting things done. but they still want access to me, my strategy, my story, my space holding my brain. We voice memo during the week. We're not having a call. And so you have to be someone who's comfortable with that method of communication. So oftentimes what I have worked with clients on there is like, I'll look at their messaging and I'm like, okay, you're telling me this. And I have this whole intake process that you go through at the beginning. And once you go through the intake process, I'm like, this isn't coming across. This is missing. Here's what I would say. And I help them with their messaging and visibility gaps. And we obviously are like coaching and messaging, but it's not a place to like unpack everything in your business. So if you just want to kind of get an idea of what it's like to work with me, that's why I introduced that as an offer, because sometimes you want to experience a coach before you decide like, do I want to join Reclamation after? Do I want to become a private client after? But it's kind of meant to be that space to get acclimated to me, get a few things cleaned up, and then decide what you need from there. I also have Reclamation Mastermind, which is my signature 12-month mastermind for women of color who want booked out businesses through their thought leadership. So this is a mastermind where your thought leadership becomes very clear. We amplify it. We make it visible. This is where you create more demand, not by doing more, but by being more of who you are, aligning who you are and what you do to an unmet need in the market. It is the most beautiful community. Like, this is a place where people go and develop multi-year friendships and then some. I have people who join for multiple rounds. Many of my clients stay with me for years. This is a client. This is a mastermind where people leave with actual friendships, you know? So like, your life will definitely change. Like, this is a place where even though it's a mastermind, like, you very much still get like my consultative eye. Anything that I ever suggest to you, I will tell you, here's 5 reasons, here's 10 reasons. Like, this is why I'm suggesting this to you. You have free will. You decide what it is that you want. So this isn't like a follow my framework. Everybody has to do the same thing. Like, you are going to be, you're going to develop critical thinking. You're going to become a better leader. You're really going to be able to grow custom. Like, I have people who barely even post on social media and made almost $500,000 because they work with mostly organizations with corporate contracts. And then I have other people who, you know, have their blog and their TikTok page. So it's like, the business models are very different. So it's also a really inspiring space to come in. And it's like anti-copy-paste culture, right? Like, you're going to come in and be inspired by different women of color, mostly daughters of immigrants, who have these really different, diverse business models, ways of marketing, and who are also just really, really smart. Like, I just think people come into Reclamation and they're just like, I'm never going to like work with a coach in the same way that I did before. Like, now we're really looking for someone who's going to guide them, mentor them, listen to them, guide them, like consult them instead of like, do this, don't do this, right? And this is how so many of my clients have been able to get booked out, right? And the doors to Reclamation open October 1st. So you can find all this in the show notes, join the waitlist for that. Send me a DM on Instagram if you're considering any private coaching options or you just have questions about what works for you. So thank you for being with me. I will see y'all on the next episode.